Welcome. It's Thursday night and time for the Psychic Viewpoint on PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com with your hosts, Maureen Holleran, Sharon Bradley, Nancy Galway, and Phil Powers. During the second half of the show, call in to connect for a free psychic reading. Join us during this transpersonal collective experience. Sponsored by PsychicAccess.com, where all the psychics have been interviewed, verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you the highest quality of quality service. And now, on with this week's show.
Good evening, everyone. My name is Sharon Bradley, and I would like to thank you for coming to tonight's broadcast of the Psychic Viewpoint, sponsored by PsychicAccess.com. Tonight, we will be talking to the wonderful Vanilla Rogers about how your handwriting can change your life. Before we get started, please join me in welcoming my wonderful co-hosts. A warm welcome to Phil Powers. Hi, Phil. How are you tonight? Phil?
Ah, Phil, how are you? I'm doing great tonight. I had the mute button on.
Okay. So, do you want to tell us a little bit about yourself?
Sure. Let's see. I work for Psychic Access. I go by the name of Magus and do readings there, chat room, phone, Tarotist and clairvoyant, all the C's, all that happy stuff we do. That's pretty much it, I think.
Well, that's a lot. Now, is Rez there with us tonight?
Yes, I am.
Hi, Rez. How are you?
Hi, Sharon. So happy to be here. I'm great. Thanks.
Oh, that's good. Do you want to tell the listeners a little bit about yourself?
Yes, I'd be delighted. I also work for PsychicAccess.com. I'd rather say with PsychicAccess.com because it's such a great bunch of associates. I love talking to anyone and everybody about their relationships, their relationship issues, how to make the life that you have more enriching, and how to basically get what you want. So come on down.
Yeah, that's great. Well, welcome.
Thank you.
Nancy is, I'm not sure if Nancy's on the phone, but if you are, maybe just shout. No. Anyways, I just want to tell you a little bit about myself. My name is Sharon, and I do also work with Psychic Access, which I enjoy very much. And I'm don't use any tools, but what I do is I'm able to see. For some reason, I can see things from spirit, and I can hear from spirit. So that's what I do. Now, tonight I'm so delighted and honored to have Vanilla Rogers with us tonight. She's a handwriting expert, motivational speaker, master alphabetician, I believe you call it like that, and she's an author of the bestseller, Your Handwriting Can Change Your Life. Vanilla is also one of the most authentic people I've ever met. She's devoted her life to making the world a better place, and everyone that touches her is changed in some little way. She's great. But for more information on Vanilla, you can visit her website at www.iihs.com/Vanilla-Rogers, with its RODGERS.THML. Now, Nancy, are you there with us? Oh, I thought I heard Nancy. So be sure to stay tuned for the second half of our show to get your free on-air reading with our gifted psychics. We will announce the call-in number later in the show, so be sure to have your pen and paper ready. If you are unable to catch our show with Craig Webb last week, you will find a recorded archive link, as well as archives of all previous shows on PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com under the Archives tab. Please feel free to circulate the archive links and future show details to your friends and family. Our mission is to reach out with our guides and connect with as much people as possible. So be sure to include others in on our show. So welcome. Oh, I'm just wondering if Vanilla's on the show with us yet?
I am on the show.
I guess not. Oh, hi, Nancy. Is that you, Nancy?
Hi. Okay. It is. I'm back.
It's okay. We're just a lot of stuff happening tonight. So Nancy, do you want to tell? Nancy's one of our co-hosts, and welcome. Did you want to tell a little bit about yourself, Nancy?
Okay, well, I'm an advisor on psychicaccess.com, and I really enjoy it. Mm-hmm. And I'm an empath and an intuitive, and I use the tarot as a guide, and I get messages and guidance from my angels, and I really enjoy interacting with everyone.
Oh, well, I'm so glad you came.
Thank you.
This is wonderful. So, now, I'm just... Maybe the producer could just let me know when Simon's on the line with us. Now, Maureen wasn't able to make it tonight, but we have the lovely Rez with us. And now, is everybody excited that we're going to talk about handwriting?
Very.
Yes.
Yes, extremely.
It's going to be good. Now, Ramona's a little bit different in that she does changing your handwriting versus... handwriting analysis, which I guess is graphology, right? So it's right. It's a little bit different.
I don't know whether can you hear me, Sharon, or not.
So, does anyone have any, like, is anyone curious about that?
I'm very curious about this. Would this be the same thing, just talk about automatic writing, that sort of thing?
Absolutely not.
I don't think
I'm on the show yet.
But what she does is she knows... She knows, like, our letters so much, like, from when I think she was born with it. And different ways to write changes your life. So it's very, very powerful, because I remember finding her and doing some work myself. So I'll be excited when she's going to be on with us. And
I don't know whether thinking of the Hebrew alphabet right now. Letters were symbolic of certain abilities and metaphysical qualities, and letters and words have power. So this is a very exciting topic, yes.
Yeah, it's really neat. And I mean, she does things like when you're doing a T, always put the, you know how we always put it in the middle, right, the dash? You put it right at the top, and it gives you power, and it's very exciting. So now...
Apparently, I'm not on the show
anybody
yet.
Anybody else? I don't know. I'm hoping that Vimila's on shortly.
I am on the show. Oh, darn.
Yes, well, I was thinking of the Hebrew alphabet in particular, and still in Kabbalistic terms today, I'm trying not to get on a really long explanation. I'm thinking, well, you brought it up, all right. So, but yes, using a certain, the Hebrew letters in conjunction with other letters, of course, didn't necessarily formulate a word all of the time, but formulated similar to runes, formulated a symbolism that helped to create or to enhance a particular situation, let's say, for protection. You could even think of it that way, was another aspect. Letters symbolize the elemental spirits, and even the name of God, you know, was written a certain way, I should say, not written a certain way, in order to be given its proper divine power. And when you think also of something like prophetic journaling, you know, I talk to my clients a lot of, you know, where you write your life, you know, and before you know it, if you're writing about yourself or a situation that you have in mind as if it were happening in real time, you start to notice that it does. And it's all about getting the thoughts into words and words on paper or on the computer. And it's just an amazing thing. So I'm very interested in tonight. Yes, absolutely. And if you think about a person's name, mm-hmm. made up of the letters, mm-hmm. that gives you your personality. That has a great deal to do with the kind of, with the way that we think of ourselves and who we believe ourselves to be.
Right, right. And even, I guess, even combinations of certain letters. I remember taking a course a long time ago about names and how different ones meant different things and different combinations meant different things.
Exactly.
So, yeah. So, is anyone...
Oh, did you say that you worked with Vimila? Did you do it, like, online?
Yeah.
Sharon,
so what happened
can
with
you
me,
hear my voice?
Me was that I did... I was listening to one of Louise Hay's old tapes. I think it was like the very original one, Heal Your Life. and I'd listened to it so many times, and at one point I was listening to it, and it said that when she was in her 50s, she went back and took a course on changing her handwriting and how profound it was. And I thought, oh my goodness, wow. I can't believe I've missed this so many times. And so right away I got the book, and then I started reading about it, and I thought, wow, this is so profound. So I took some courses directly with her. And what happened was my psychic business was kind of just a dream, you know? And I went to her with it, with my kind of far-off dream. And by the time I finished with her, I had my name, I had my business, I had, you know, I was all set up and raring to go. So
wow.
It really does work. And it was in a very short period of time, too. So it was very interesting. And you know, but I wonder how many people have listened to this tape by Louise and not heard it, you know? I guess, what does it say when the student's ready, the teacher, whatever?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Well, you get it when you need it, yeah. I know, it's so interesting. I looked at the videos, and I'd never given it much thought before, only when they've done, you know, you see it on TV when they do handwriting analysis and stuff to solve crimes and things like that, but it was so interesting.
And the neat part is, I mean, she will acknowledge that she's not a graphologist, but you know, when you think about it, if we can tell about a person by their handwriting, by changing it, we should be able to change. Like, I mean, it makes sense, and it's quite profound. But she's really perfected it, you know.
You hear me, Sharon? This is similar.
I don't know what's going on though. I feel kind of bad that. I don't know what's going on with her. I don't know why she came. We all kind of sort of had trouble with our Skype tonight, though, didn't we?
Well, I've been on the line for 10 minutes.
No, she's not. She's on. But we can always have a nice, lovely talk.
of course.
I just had something interesting happen. I just had a bunch of fire trucks pull out front of my house next door.
Oh, really?
Oh, my God.
I was trying to keep the noise down on my end, so if I bleep out for a minute, that's why.
Oh, there's, it just feels the energy just popping, isn't it? So,
yes.
Yeah.
Well, there was supposed to be a tornado here tonight, but I think we drove through it today when I was out. So when the weather's funny here, because I'm on a satellite dish, I lose a lot of stuff. So it's just been a strange kind of day.
Yeah, and everything that's happening down the Midwest, it's terrible what's going on.
Oh, awful.
It's really scary. So, Camilla, you're there!
Yay!
On the
anyway, thank you for saving your work. No, as I heard you talking about the Kabbalah, you know.
Are you okay now? You can hear me?
Now I can hear you. Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
I've been listening to your conversation.
We're talking about everything all about you, so I hope your ears were ringing.
Oh, that was wonderful.
So, the first thing, is it okay if I just ask you some questions?
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Okay. Now, I talked a bit about what your work is and stuff like that, but no one could probably tell it as good as you. So did you just want do a little summary of what the work is for you, like a little brief?
Oh, sure. I know you people
yeah,
do
okay.
handwriting, and they panic, and they put their handwriting in their pocket or, you know, behind their back, and I say, no. You know, the alphabet is a sacred science. And I heard someone talk about the Kabbalah, the Hebrew Kabbalah.
Yes.
A few minutes ago. Well, there are five Kabbalahs. There's a Greek Kabbalah, Roman Kabbalah, anyway. But the Kabbalah means something of a sacred tradition handed down. And the alphabet, I've studied 19 alphabets, and the one that I love the most is the Roman alphabet. It is a sacred science. And I have designed an alphabet so that each time you write one of these letters, you're accessing your soul rather than your ego. That basic. And when, you know, we were at Stanford, we did studies, and the pen is held by the hand, but it's the brain, the subconscious mind, that moves it. It's not your hand.
Yes.
So everything you've ever interpreted that has happened to you in your life is going to show up on paper, and that's what a graphologist tells you. But I don't do graphology. I look at your writing. I don't have to tell you who you are. You know who you are. I say, cross those T's on top, open up the O's, you know, different suggestions. I know what they represent, but I don't need it. And people say, well, what will happen if I change my handwriting? I'll say, I don't know because I don't live in your brain, but I know it will be positive. And it always is. We're in 67 countries now, and it just thrills me to hear that a group of women in India are teaching the street children how to do the Vimala handwriting.
Wow.
The thing that works, it just, it simply brings out the best in ourselves by releasing all those negative thought habits we have. And that's what it's all about.
Oh. Now, did you hear Phil when he said, there's a couple of co-hosts here, but did you hear Phil when he said that he always puts his T's over his, like he always puts the top over his T?
I don't know if Phil is, but he's probably a psychic of some kind. Or somebody that accesses energy from a higher realm. You can do that, but it's not good. It's fine, but you want to put them right on top because that grounds your vision. The T is the letter of the visionary. And when you do a nice tall stem and then put that, you know, place that vigorous crossbar right on top, you are grounding your vision. You're not just dreaming about it and imagining it and maybe it'll happen, but you're grounding it. It's very important to put it right on top.
Ah, and then most people put it in the middle, but you say to put it on top, so...
Well, if you put it in the middle like we were taught in school, it's you're embracing mediocrity. You'll be like everybody else, nothing is ever going to change, and the way you want the world to be isn't going to happen because you're too short, too tall, you're white, you're black. You know, we make up excuses.
Mm-hmm.
And when I leave any group, I say, if you do nothing else after I leave today, cross all your T's on top.
Ah... And, you know, that's probably one that's a little bit easier than most, you know.
Yeah, Abraham Lincoln, Albert Einstein, Nikola Tesla, Mother Teresa, Mohandas Gandhi. I have 32 different visionaries. And I put them all up in an overhead, and I say, guess what? Not one of them ever studied with me, and they all cross their T's on top.
Oh, that's interesting.
Everyone, like all of you listening right now, you had a dream, Sharon. Look what you're doing.
I know, thank you.
Everybody has something inside they really want to do, and the subconscious mind makes excuses for not doing it.
Right.
So change your attitude, change your handwriting.
And then this pushes you right through.
I know.
Yeah, it's great.
The thing is so basic. People want self-change to be expensive. They want to go to 25 workshops. They want to go to therapists. You don't have to do that. Just change the way you write, and you will change the way you think, you will change the way you see who you are, and life will open up. It's that basic.
Yeah.
Really?
I know, but you know what I find is that, I mean, I did sessions with you, and it worked, and I did it, but I kind of would go back to my own handwriting. Is that normal?
You don't want to go back to your own, you want to keep the handwriting you have when we were working together, because when you start something, as you have, it'll only grow and grow and grow if you keep that handwriting because it opens doors in your mind that have been closed for a long time. So just go back, do the writing you were doing when you were working with me.
Yeah. I've been thinking about it. I've been thinking about the work we did and how powerful it was. So now, was this something that you were born with? Because I don't know anyone else that is doing this work. You're the only one that seems to have this wonderful gift. So is this something that you came down with, like a gift that just God says?
Well, I knew in preschool when I was 4 years old. We learned to write then, by the way. And I knew it then, and I would talk about it, and I was made fun of. And as I got older, I'd look at handwriting, make a comment, I was made fun of. And the one attitude that had held me back for years was ridicule. You make fun of me. People say, well, there's nothing in a book like that. I've never heard of such a thing, you know, blah, blah, blah. So I knew in my mind, in my heart of hearts, that this was accurate. But nobody would back me up. And what it usually takes in life, if you look around, for someone to wake up to their real vision is a huge tragedy. And what it took for me was the death of my son. And I looked around at the world and said, you know what? I don't know how I'm going to do it, but I'm going to do it, and God, you got to help me. And that was it.
Oh,
and
well,
I left
so
the job
cute.
And I went home and didn't know, you know, I mean, and then when you really make a firm commitment you're going to do something, doors open up. People show up. It never would have, I mean, it's like a string of Christmas tree lights. And I just encourage people, cross your T's on top. Make an autograph that sings your name. It just doesn't look all crummy and withdrawn, you know. And the autograph, I don't call it a signature unless it's on a document, but when you sign a letter, when you write a note to a friend, that's an autograph. And auto means by itself, and graph is written, it's myself, it's who I am. And if you do nothing else, work on that autograph.
Okay, so take what the handwriting from your books and stuff, and actually make your signature like that.
Yeah, absolutely. Like,
yeah. Now, do you find people are very possessive of their writing? Because I find sometimes when I tell everybody about what you do, and they're like, no, I love my handwriting. I don't want to change that. Like, do you find that people are very possessive of it?
Oh, yeah, and I tell people, if you like your handwriting, great. Your life must be working just the way you want it to, because then it won't change as long as you keep your handwriting that way. So if your life is working beautifully, don't change your handwriting.
But don't complain, right?
No. And people will tell me, oh, but I write just like my mother. I said, oh, you must think like her. And they're wearing the same clothes, the same hair. Do you know what I'm saying? Because our handwriting indicates where the reason so many kids have, quote, bad handwriting in school, and I was one of them, is that when you write a certain way, you start thinking a certain way. And kids in the 20th century and in the 21st cannot think like the person who created the Palmer system in 1895. In 1895, it was very restrictive thinking. And that's why kids can't do it. Because it's a whole different world right now.
Right.
And the alphabet, in fact, my alphabet's being used in 67 countries, including Ethiopia.
Wow.
Where they are teaching their children because they want their children to be successful and happy.
Now, is this being taught in certain, like, this is being taught in schools?
It's being taught, well, I know in India, there are some women who took on the street children, and they teach them. They sent me a picture. They sit in the streets, and they teach the children how to read and write, because they say these children are going to be the leaders of India. So it all depends on the country. But, the teachers write, and there are some schools using it, but the teachers write, and they show the kids how, and I get these beautiful pictures, you know, with the whole background, you know, handwriting, and kids love it. It's simple. Because it's based on soul, energy, not ego. And we're all saints beneath it all. And
right.
If you read on my website, you know, I have the five noble truths. And the first one is, there's no such thing as good or bad people. We're all children of God, and some of us just cover it up better than others do. And there's no such thing as good or bad handwriting. If you think your handwriting is atrocious, rephrase that and call it casual. And then it takes the pressure off and we laugh a lot. But when you start forming letters in a different way, you're forming your thinking in a different way. And we did this at Stanford, and after 40 days of consistent writing in certain patterns, you shift the neurological patterns in the brain. The physical brain shifts. It's called cortical remapping or neuroplasticity. And when you do, the thing is it works. It just works.
Yeah. It does work. Well, Now, there's something on your site, and it's called Writing for Peace. So what is that about? Is anything that you could tell us quickly, or is it like a big, long...
We have a group of, we call Handwriters for Peace because we're in so many countries, and we invite people around the world to take on one or two handwriting changes, you know, choose their letters, and a letter a week for the kids, you know, and just do it, because as anyone, in fact... those of you who are on the show know that everything we do, every thought we have, everything, all this energy radiates out to the universe. So when we change our L's, A's, or Q's, or whatever we're doing, and do it consistently, that peaceful energy radiates out to the universe. And I don't know if you've read the book Power versus Force by David Hawkins.
Yeah.
And he explains it so clearly. Mm-hmm. And it's just, and that's why we have people around the world writing every day. Because it takes that energy... the positive energy, the positive of the A or the J or the P or the whatever letter it is, and it radiates it not just in our lives, but out to the world. And that's what this is all about.
Mm-hmm.
Handwriting for Peace.
Oh, go on. Do you ever get to go over to India and check this out, or they talk to you via email and stuff? Like,
well, I sent my students over there, and actually, or my graduates, actually we're putting a DVD together that's going to go around the world. And I'm going to hold up, you know, the letters so they can, because we're in Poland and Madagascar and Ethiopia, we're all over the world. And most people around the world are trying to learn English, but their ability is limited. So I want to just explain what the letters do, have a huge picture, you know, the card, which we have for the kids, explain what the letter, because we have a declaration for the, for all the children. And it's very exciting when I get the emails back or the handwritten letters. I love the handwritten letters. The children who are just learning to write and read English, they write me 5 or 6 lines and sign their name. I get teary-eyed.
And they send it to you.
And they can't afford the postage, so the teacher pays. I mean, you know, it's just, and this is what peace is all about. It's not, for instance, if you could have people like Obama, Bush, and Ahmadinejad sitting at the same table having tea, and if they had healthy writing, they wouldn't agree with each other, but they wouldn't want to kill each other either.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? When Obama, I think his fellow who gave this talk, I'm not sure, his name was Mark Warren. He's a very, very fundamentalist right-winger. And what he said, I shall never forget, it just summed up the teachings of all wise teachers. He said, you don't have to see eye to eye when you walk hand in hand. And you don't have to be disagreeable when you disagree. And that's what Jesus taught. That's what Plato taught. That's what Socrates taught. And they taught, be kind.
Yeah.
And that's what this alphabet does. Every letter. Well, I don't know. Do you have my kit that has the...
Yes.
Yeah. And you know, there's a guardian protector of every letter.
Right.
And,
it's
powerful stuff. I mean, it works.
And it was such a good idea, like with the cards. I was telling them about it at the beginning, and it's like you get like a little journal and you get the cards, and I just love it. Even the coloring, everything about it is just perfect.
Yeah,
you
the
know?
Person who did it, she's a beautiful artist.
Yeah, that sounds
true. But the part of the kit that people like best so far is they love to listen to these CDs on their way to work.
Ah.
You know, pop the CD in the car and they listen to it.
And you have sounds for each letter too. Don't you have a DVD dealing with the sounds of the letters?
No, but I do have. Every letter resonates in a different tone, and I don't know how far I should go with this. But when I started studying Sanskrit in 1981, I learned that all the letters in the Sanskrit alphabet live in a particular petal of a particular chakra. Am I going too far out there, or do you know what I'm talking about?
For sure. No, we know what you're talking about.
You know what chakras are, okay.
Yeah, I know.
I'm never sure.
Every
letter in the Sanskrit alphabet lives in a particular petal of a particular chakra, and so does the Roman letters. So when you know that, for instance, that the letter M lives in the Anahata chakra, you know that it's heart-based, and you know which stone, you know, goes with it and which tone it resonates in. There are many dimensions to each letter. In fact, there are 22 aspects to each letter, and... It's a thrilling science. It's a spiritual science. It's not some, you know, New Age guesswork, which people often think, well, I was trained at Stanford, for heaven's sakes. This is not, it's not something that you get weird about. It works. You're playing with your brain. You write every day when you're determined. And believe me, change, well, you know, Sharon, you did it.
I did it. Yeah, the proof's in the pudding, right?
Absolutely. Oh, yeah. But I'm just
How do you find out this information? Like, are you receiving it from channeled information, or are you going into books from a long time ago? Like, where is this information coming from? I know you innately know, but
through the years, I studied 19 different alphabets, and I just because I needed information about them. But I don't read books anymore because the information comes. Just like, how do I know that they're Well, shall I go there? Okay. I teach 26 letters and 26 ligatures. A ligature is 2 letters joined together.
Right.
And I didn't know that ligatures counted until all of a sudden they started coming through to me. And I said, wait a second. And it took about a month and a half, and there they were. And the 26 ligatures and the 26 letters line up with the 52 letters in the Devanagari alphabet of India. So, I mean, you know, I don't know why, but they do come through to me. So...
So it's kind of a channel to you, sort of.
Yes, channel's a good word, but it's just like anybody who has really wants to do something and has an open heart and mind, it'll come. It'll come.
Mm-hmm.
And nothing that was invented ever came in one lump. It just doesn't come to you all of a sudden. It comes through the years as we mature in spirit enough to receive it without judging.
Right.
Yeah.
And you know, that's one thing about you. Like when I talk to you, I just feel you're so passionate and so authentic, and it's just, I'm so glad that you're here on Earth. So just to help everybody, it's just great.
Oh, yeah, I'm so glad you are too.
Now, are different people resonating to different letters? Like, is your name we were talking about that earlier, and is your name connected to who you are? Like, are you
absolutely? The initial of your first name represents your greatest challenge.
Mm-hmm.
The initial of your last name at birth, not a married name, that doesn't count, but your last name at birth, represents the energy you have to bring into your life past. And the SH is what? It's a ligature. And the SH, which I teach, is the 33rd letter, and it represents walking hand in hand with God in your profession.
Okay.
And that's what the SH is. That's what your greatest challenge is, not to get in the ego, but to walk hand in hand with the divine. And the angels, Akaya, I mean, I don't have to go into the angels, but the SH is very powerful because it means you have done enough work to be walking right down the middle, holding hands with God.
Wow.
It's beautiful. Yeah.
That's nice.
I know. But every letter has energy to it. And it's just, to me, it's just absolutely thrilling because I know when I'm off that I need to change a letter. You know? But did someone say Phil was there? Is someone named Phil on your show?
Yeah.
Yes, yes.
Okay. Pardon me?
Oh, Phil, did you...
Do you have a question about the pH? The pH is powerful. Enormously powerful.
The pH
represents... It's the equivalent of repelling the evil eye. It's called the ability to get rid of unwanted energy. And when you do it, the capital is one, you know, is two letters, but when you do it lowercase, bring the second part of the, look, you know, look in the book and see, bring the second part of the P into the H, and always put a loop in that H. Phil is a powerful, powerful name. Is it Philip or Phil?
I go by Phil, but it is officially Philip with one L.
Okay. Yeah, but the pH really, you know, look in the book, look at it, because it is a ligature. And you know, when you're doing anything, there's going to be a negative, if it's positive, there's a negative energy going to try and knock on your door and convince you can't do it. Practice your best. I tell people, practice your pHs. Practice words with pH in them. You know, do what you can. But it's the ability to dispel unwanted energy, to keep the evil stuff away.
Hmm.
Yeah. So I heard a lady's voice too, and I don't know what her name is.
Oh, okay. There's Nancy.
Nancy. Okay. Oh, how
fun. Hi.
Nancy's a letter, and this letter of friendship. And your goal in life is to know no strangers. Judge no one. Look at everyone as a mirror of yourself, and have a good time. And that's what the end is all about.
Yes, and that's happening.
That sounds like Nancy.
Yeah.
we also have someone that goes by Rez, but Rez, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Okay, which name I guess you could give her whatever name you like.
All right. Well, Rez Miranda is kind of long. I don't know if that would work.
What is your first name?
That's my first name, Rez Miranda.
R as in...
Yeah.
Okay, Rez Miranda. It's all one word then.
Yes.
What you're here to do is to create or invent something that's already been done but a step more. In other words, something like going from shoelaces or safety pins to Velcro. In other words, something's already been done, but you have a way, you see a way it can be done better and more convenient. And that's what the R people is here to do. And I have one of my graduate students who's been in the 12-step program for years, and she has written a book. It's just headed to the publisher. And she has taken each step and put a handwriting change with it to support the person who's working a particular step. That's never been done before.
Huh.
So whatever you have in you, Rez Miranda, is there's something you've probably felt for a long time, but who are you to do it, you know? Well, you're the one. Raise your hand.
Exactly.
Yeah, and you know, it's just it's something that's been done, but you can see a way of perfecting it or making it better or more practical.
Oh, wow. I've always thought, well, maybe that's cheating, you know? But I guess not.
That's just an excuse. That's an excuse not to do it.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So go do it.
I better get out of then.
You're inspiring all of us.
Yeah,
I keep
telling people.
What about our producer, Doug?
Oh, Doug. Doug is the letter D, is the letter of acute sensitivity. And the greatest calling Doug has is to be sensitive and aware of other people's energy and speak to the spirit in them, not judging them. And the D person, don't ever take anything personally. And for everyone listening, and I include all of you, regardless of your name, don't ever put a loop in your lowercase D stem. Always retrace it. You know, we just retrace it right back to the baseline.
What would that do if you did that? That would be judgment?
No, taking things personally.
Oh, okay, like being too sensitive.
So if I said something to you like, oh, you look wonderful in blue, if you took it personally, you would think, well, why didn't she comment when I wore purple yesterday? You know, instead of saying thank you. So we call you D-loopers when you do that. You never know how a D-looper is going to interpret what you say.
I see.
So, if you have a loop for D, take it out.
Oh, okay. I'm going to practice that one. Good. Now, I wanted to tell everybody about your wonderful newsletter because I love when I receive it. It's something new that you've done, isn't it, this newsletter?
Well, you know, I've wanted a newsletter for years and years. I don't do computers and I don't do graph. I don't know how to do it. I just write books and do handwriting. And I never ask what my students do because I don't care to know unless they want to tell me. So last year, back September, I had a class and, you know, a variety of students, very bright and fun. And one of the women asked me after the end of the class, she said, why don't you have a newsletter? I said, honey, I've wanted a newsletter for 19 years, but I don't know how to do that. She said, what do you want in it? I said, well, and I mentioned, she said, write a few paragraphs. So I did. We had a newsletter 3 days later because she teaches computer science at the University of Wisconsin.
Oh!
So she put
was
me
she
in
doing it for you, or did she teach you how to do it?
Oh, no, I don't want to learn how. So she does it for me. And her whole life has changed hugely dramatically since September. I mean, she's taken on her handwriting that you can't believe, and oh my word. She has a job that she's wanted forever. You know, she's very gifted, but anyway, I won't go into detail, but that's why we have a newsletter. And once the newsletter came out, I don't know how to do email lists, so my neighbor, who is a, what do you call them, IT person, came over here and gathered it all together and sent it off to the newsletter guru. I didn't know I had 7,000 people. And I start getting, within 2 days after the newsletter came out, I received 720 emails from people. Oh, man, I haven't heard from you in 25 years. And then people now, they start sending in all their stories, and the newsletter person said, her name is Dee, she said, well, why don't you have a Stories from the Heart? I said, boy, that's perfect. So that's how we start the newsletter now. And these stories coming through are just, they're beautiful because people are using the technology to change their lives. And that's all it is.
Yeah, and it's great because each time you do it, you deal with a different letter. And I just love them. I love them. So that's great. I'm glad you did that. Now, did it increase your students, or it's always busy, I guess, anyways, right?
The thing is, you know, I'm writing another book. I just finished one, actually, 3 days ago. I'm going to give myself a break till Monday for the next book. But I don't teach classes anymore, and I don't have individual clients anymore. Because and I'm writing books, and I can't do both. I give presentations at companies and all. But and my graduates are brilliant, and they really know the material. And and so, in fact, one of them is coming out to California in October to teach a 3-day class, and I think the class is pretty well full because the thing is these people have changed their handwriting, they know that it works, and they want to be able to share it with other people, so they're coming out to do the class. But Yeah, I'm not taking.
But you don't teach the classes anymore, or you still teach the classes?
I teach the advanced classes, and my graduates teach the beginner classes.
I feel very privileged now that I had some one-on-one courses.
Oh, right. No, I don't have one-on-ones anymore because, you know, I really care about the people I work with, and it takes time. It takes a lot of time, and I'm not doing that. But all my graduates are doing fine, and they do it, so.
Yeah, well, that's
writing books. And,
Now, all the talent that we've talked about, you're also, you're a wonderful cook, I hear. Is that what I read online? So is that something you love to do?
Oh, well, you know, you probably know, maybe you don't know, I've given birth to and reared 8 children.
Yeah.
Wow. And we lost Luke in 1987, but, I'm a vegan. A vegan means no animal products, no dairy products, no eggs, that kind of stuff. And I've been a vegan for 20 years, a vegetarian for 40. So my cookbook is actually beautiful. Hay House put it out. Oh, it's beautiful. And every recipe is quick, easy, nothing weird, under half an hour to prepare, you know, from kitchen to table. And there's no animal products at all. There's no butter. There's no, I mean, nothing. And people love it.
Yeah, it's called vegetarian meals.
I forget that people still have steaks and burgers and things. As I said, you know, I'll be in a new, some kind of newsletter for Hay House. They had me write an article, but I titled it, I don't eat burgers anymore. I grow my own because I'm on a dance garden. So, anyway, they're fun to work with.
Yeah. Now, can you tell us what the new book is that you just finished, or is it a secret?
Oh, no, it's not a secret. It's on organic gardening, and I call it From the Ground Up. Because I've been an organic gardener since I was 4 years old from my grandmother. My German grandmother taught me, and I had gardens forever. And my grandson, who's 15, said, how do you do that, Grandma? So I put a whole book, the book together for him, and I thought, oh, okay, I can just, you know, rephrase it and put it together for people, and it's really fun. You know, what to put with what, because we've never, ever used a spray. You know, you plant your borage with your tomatoes and your cucumbers with your sunflower. You know, you just go on, and it's so basic. And he put his first garden in, and 3 weeks ago he sent me an email with a picture of his first radish.
Aww, that's so cute.
He's 15, you know, he's this motorcycle enthusiast, and he's got his own garden, and he calls and says, oh, you ought to see my cucumbers, Grandma. So it thrills me, but that's what the place called From the Ground Up. And every one of my kids has a garden right now, so.
Oh, isn't that nice?
It is. It's very unusual.
Do the children do the handwriting, too? Like, does your family, everybody follow?
Oh, no. Who listens to their mother? Two of my kids use my handwriting. The rest couldn't care less.
Oh, okay. That's funny. You think that they would see all the good stuff that comes and do it.
Oh, they don't give it to hand. They don't give credit to handwriting. It doesn't bother me. You know, my kids are all over the map. I have an evangelical Christian. I have a Buddhist. I have a shaman. And nature lover. I mean, they're all over. And when we get together for, you know, to have fun, you know, with a party, and we do, I said, I don't care what you believe. I want to see how you live your life.
Right.
And that's what matters. They're wonderful parents. They're a lot of fun. They're responsible. They're community-oriented. I don't care what they believe. If that's how their belief system, you know, echoes out into life, God bless them. So we have a good time.
That's great. I wanted to say, when you're doing your handwriting, you don't use lined paper, and you turn the paper.
Thank you for bringing that up. The long direction, no lines ever, never a pencil. So it's, you know, turn your paper the landscape direction, which is the long way, no lines, and just use a pen.
Yeah. And so go for it. Like, you kind of go for it. You commit your whole self to it.
Oh, yeah. And I have to go in and have my oil changed tomorrow morning, and when I wait in the waiting room, they say, oh, did you bring your laptop? I say, you bet I did. It's a notebook. I hold it in my lap and write.
Yeah, I guess the children now they use computers and the handwriting's kind of, I don't think it'll ever go away. But do you think that's a terrible thing? I guess in your eyes, eh?
It's very sad. But that's why I have the font. And people say if you want people to do handwriting, why did you have your alphabet put in the font? Because teachers all over the world have a different teaching environment, and they can print out their own lesson plans. Also, people like engineers are very curious, and they might change a letter now and again if they saw it often enough. So that's why I have the font. But handwriting is, you know, and we're doing brain studies, and, you know, there's doing studies all over the world about neuroplasticity, and the handwriting falls in there. And we are declaring at the Institute that the Vimla alphabet will be the scripta franca of the world in 2012. So everybody will be using it. How? I don't know.
Yeah.
But I know with persistence and determination and God's grace, not necessarily in that order, it will happen.
Yeah. Wow, that'd be good. Now, we have other co-hosts there, and I was just wondering, because I'm not in Skype, so I can't tell, but I wondered if anybody had a question for you, because I've been hogging you all night. So, Resmeralda, or did anyone have a question for Vanilla?
I guess familiar. This is Phil. Now, is it writing? Is there one for printing? Is there a difference between the two, cursive versus... Printing, I guess, is what I would call it.
Okay, if printing is all uppercase letters, it's called block printing.
Block printing,
and block printing
there you go.
Is a way of building a wall, and behind that wall are usually talents and abilities and inventions and all that, for whatever reason, you're not sharing. I have seen block printing in two women and about 400,000 men. Block printing occurs when someone has been betrayed, and they've been let down, disappointing, huge betrayal, maybe as a 10-year-old or a 40-year-old, but they will go into block printing and say, well, nobody can read my writing, so I block print. And I said, no, nobody can read your writing and you block print, and we take it from there. But upper and lowercase printing is a way of putting a fence around yourself that people can't get too close. They can get close enough, but they can't get too close. So if anybody's a upper lowercase printer, I say, okay, look at the letter shapes, and now and again connect a letter. Don't connect them all in a word, but now and again connect a letter and see what happens.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, in other words, you don't want to print, Phil.
I only print, yes. But printing is the same as the keyboard, which is odd that keyboards don't type.
Well, the funny thing about...
Keyboards type, but not in your...
Yeah.
In your version of it, it types block letters.
Well, because I was, you know, in the whole brain-hand research, and we found out through studies, even the psychiatrists agreed, that when you wrap your hands around a pen or a pencil or a chopstick, mm-hmm. you access the prefrontal lobe, the creative part of the brain. When you type on a keyboard, not a harpsichord or a piano, but a keyboard for letters, you access the primitive part of your brain. Studies at Stanford. So, I handwrite all my books, and many, many famous people have handwritten their books, and there's a whole different brain dynamic when you print and when you write and when you use a keyboard. I use a keyboard as little as possible.
Very good. I wish I could, too, and I'm impressed you handwrite all your books. That's very,
yeah,
very
Mark
Twain-ish.
What do you do for a living? What is your profession?
Did you ask though what his profession was?
I did, and he giggled.
Oh,
I'm sorry. I didn't hear you.
Yeah, I said, "What is your profession, Phil?"
What is my profession aside from a psychic? I'm a recruiter, a headhunter.
Okay.
It's a very analytical email job.
And you can do it differently. I'll bet you a nickel, I'll bet you more than a nickel, that if you were to reformat how you do your recruiting and use handwriting instead of the keyboard, your business would quadruple. one of the responsibilities all my students take on, I said, for the rest of your life, handwrite at least 3 thank you notes a week. They say, who do you thank? I said, the fellow who changed your tire and didn't charge you anything, the lady who was having a bad day but was pleasant with you. Find out people's names and addresses and write them thank you notes. I just finished 2 today. Thank you in a handwritten note will hold you in such high regard, people will never forget who you are. I don't care if you're a recruiter or a tax collector, they won't forget you.
Yeah, actually in the industry, because everything is email, it's scheduling, it's resumes being sent, email, everything has to happen at the speed of light. But if it comes down to 3 candidates that they're thinking of, I always tell my candidate, handwrite your thank you letter. It will separate you from the pack.
And you handwrite a letter.
It'll be a personal touch.
Yeah, and you handwrite a letter to that candidate. You know, for being your client or whatever. I mean, the handwritten thank you notes are so important. And the fact that you can do that, awesome. And make sure that your autograph is clear when you write it. What is the initial of your last name?
My John Hancock says PJ Powers.
Oh, PJP, wow. You know, it's, when I talk
I'm getting a lot of wows. I must be an underachiever.
No. You're just holding back who you can be. But the letter J, and I do this when I speak to engineers especially, I hold up a $100 bill. I say, by the way, this is authentic. This is not fake. This is a real $100 bill. If anybody in this audience can tell me, within 50 years, what year the letter J was finally given a letter in the dictionary, nobody can guess. Or they guess 425, 862. I said, no, 1867. That's when the J finally made it to the dictionary.
Wow.
Here's a letter of insight, intuition. Honor it and look at my book and see how to make that J. Don't ever print it. J is extreme, and you have it as a middle initial. Holy smokes. Look at the book and do your J that way, and you'll find out what will happen.
I'll be getting your book this weekend.
Okay, good. And the thing, I keep saying the same thing, but it's true. It works. When you start writing in a certain way, it's as though you're letting down self-limiting thought habits you weren't even aware of. And all of a sudden, wow. Like when I came home, you know, from my job and was going to do handwriting for the rest of my life and I didn't know how, my neighbor said, oh, last day at work. I said, yeah, what are you going to do now? I'm going to do handwriting somehow. I said, but I don't know how. Why don't you come to our, what do you call it, those meetings? It was Peninsula Executives Association, a meeting where everybody, you know, people from different companies meet. And I said, fine, I'll come. And didn't know what it was. And what you do, everybody there has a different profession. And they stand up and say what they do, and then they have a meeting. So it came to me, and the good Lord gave me the words to say, I guide people in adopting handwriting patterns that bring out the best of themselves so they can live a life they love. And I sat down, and I thought, wow, where'd that come from?
That's beautiful.
Well, you know what? And it all began there.
That's exactly what you do, Vimala. So now we're going to have to close because it's gone so quickly.
Okay.
But I wanted to thank you so much for coming on tonight, and thank you for being you. And it's just great that you came on with us. Are you there, Vimala?
I am still here, and I thank you for inviting me, Sharon, and God bless us all.
Okay, you take care of yourself. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And thanks for being on. It was wonderful.
You're welcome. Thank you, Phil.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, well, take care.
No loops in the bee, okay?
All right.
Nice to you all. Thank you.
Bless you. Now, you can find out more about Mila at www.iihs.com/Vimala, Rogers, rogers.html. And you can find out more about her on our guest page at psychicaccesstalkradio.com. So we're going to take, I think we're having a commercial right now, and we'll be...
A new era in psychic services has begun. Psychicaccess.com. You can connect with our psychic advisors by telephone or chat 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. All of our psychic advisors are interviewed, fully verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you quality service. We're living in some very troubled times right now. More and more, the world's problems are affecting us on a personal level. You don't have to deal with this alone. Our highly accurate psychics, caring advisors, and talented mediums can help with situations you are currently experiencing and can let you know what the future may hold for you. All new customers get a free 6-minute reading. All you have to do is register. Why not visit us now and get a free reading at psychicaccess.com?
Hi, welcome back. I'd like to take a moment to make a few announcements. Please be sure to visit our psychicbloggers.com site to learn about everything from reincarnation to the how-tos of psychic development. If you're interested in a reading from the best psychics on the net, go to psychicaccess.com, where you'll find the best verified and accuracy-tested psychics, each with their own unique gifts. Each psychic has a detailed profile for you to find out more about them and to choose from the list of some of the most gifted psychics around. Many gifted psychics who have worked for other sites have come to me and told me that they've found Psychic Access to be the best psychic website because of the high standards required of our psychics. I, for one, enjoy working with Doug and Psychic Access because of those standards. I know that with Psychic Access, I am associated with a credible and reputable psychic site with high standards of integrity, so my reputation is safe. You'll find all of the co-hosts here on the Psychic Viewpoint on Psychic Access. And if you would like a personal reading from any one of us, please be sure to visit us at psychicaccess.com. We'd love to hear from you. By the way, site owners and webmasters can earn 50 cents per minute on every reading on traffic that is referred to psychicaccess.com. For more details, visit psychicaccess.com/webmasters. If you like our show, please invite your friends to join us in our chat room and listen to the Psychic Viewpoint. There is something for everybody, so please spread the word. We very much appreciate it. The call-in number for readings at the end of the show is 724-444-4851. Now, we've come to the point in the show where we've talked to our other co-host, which is my favorite time. So I have a question for Phil. Phil, you there with us?
I'm here. Make it an easy question for me, though.
Okay. You had a great time with Vimila. I sensed that you two kind of... She had lots to provide for you, so that was great.
She did. She's a smart gal and entertaining, yes.
Yeah, it was good. So now your question is, do you think cursive writing will become a thing of the past and eventually look like a dead language?
Unfortunately, you know, after talking to her, unfortunately, I believe it will. If you take a good look at society, everything is going text, computer, and flying along that lines. And as far as the school systems go, at least in the U.S., and I know she's doing a lot of work in India and things like that, so that could change things, but it's always going to be pen and paper, and they're only teaching cursive for a maximum of 10 minutes a day is what they'll fess up to in the USA. And that's only from grades 3 to 5, so they're not even pushing it anymore, and it's not on standardized testing. So that's kind of why I believe that, you know, 50 years from now, you're going to need a translator to read the Declaration of Independence.
Now, I wonder, like Vimila said, our eyes have abilities too. So if her font is used, let's say in texting or whatever, I wonder if it would have the same effect on us.
That would be a great question. Just by changing your font into a writing font that would be her font, that would be cool.
But it would be going in your brain nonetheless. Even, you know, so something to think about.
Yeah,
I know. I've been thinking of getting, like, I have her font that I purchased, so doing my readings with her fonts, and I thought maybe that would be, you know, when you do email readings, that it would be going through to the people, like the font.
Oh, you have her font. That's cool.
Yeah. So it's interesting. But thanks, Joe. That's great. Now, Rez, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Now, did you enjoy the show?
Oh, she was fascinated. If you could have seen me, I sat here most of the time with my mouth open, you know. God. She really just, in one foul swoop, in an instant, when she spoke to me personally, gave me permission to go ahead and stop procrastinating.
Yeah. And stop doubting yourself, really,
In an instant. I wanted to ask you something since you took her courses. What, you know, everybody these days is looking for law of attraction, this, manifest that, change my life with this one new cool tool from the bookstore. But this really sounds like something that is not just life-changing for a moment, but is consistent in its effect. Have you found that to be true, and what level of change? Can you talk about the changes without getting too personal in your life that you experienced?
Well, this was many years ago when I took it. I mean, we're talking probably maybe 10 years ago. And mm-hmm. My business was just a dream. Like, it was like, I was always like, yeah, I want to be a psychic. Yeah, I'd like to do it professionally, you know. And I did it sometimes. I had a little place where I did it. But it wasn't until I went and started practicing. Like, what, she doesn't do it anymore, she said, which is unfortunate, but every week I would send her my writing, and then she would say, okay, well, this is going on, or that's going on, and she showed me the way around it, you know. I guess she has people now that do it for her. I guess there's teachers all over the world, I guess, that do it now for her, and it just changes you. I can't, it takes discipline. It takes a lot of discipline, and I know I would get in trouble sometimes, because I'd be in a boring board meeting, because I my mundane job is law, so I would be in a board meeting doing my letters, you know, and I'd be like, what are you doing over there? So, because it does take discipline, but once you get the hang of it, you start to enjoy it. It's like, I remember doing the F, and they felt like butterflies, you know, it just, but if you get the little kit, there's like a little kit you can buy, and it, like I was saying before, it's not very much money. And there's like a CDs in it and everything, and it's just she makes it easy for you.
That's,
you know?
I'm so doing that.
Yeah, you'll like it. Yeah. So sounds like she's inspired all of us.
She really did.
Yeah, that's great. Good stuff. Thanks, Chris.
Sure.
Okay. Nancy, you there?
I'm Nancy. Here.
Hi.
I
have a question for you. What did you discover when you were viewing the info for this week's show?
Well, it's funny because she kind of talked about it when she talked about the letter N. And I, you know, as I always do, I go on the site and check out the information for the guest that's coming on. And I didn't get a chance to look at her website yet, but I'm going to order that kit, by the way. But I went and looked at the videos, and it, you know, they were talking about the letter N, and you know, she said about the friendships and all that kind of thing. And I'm writing, when I write my name, I write the N almost exactly like she writes the N. So that was interesting. And the smaller, the lowercase, and I don't do it exactly like that, but I write a lot, so I kind of mix my writing. When I'm writing something, I write and print together, which is kind of weird, but when I'm writing, signing my name, I write my N's the same way. So I thought it was kind of interesting because, you know, I do feel a lot of friendship towards people, and I do like meeting people and making new friends and all that kind of stuff, so I thought that was probably part of the N phenomena.
And you're so like that. I mean, since the day I've met you, you're just like instant friends, you know, with people. Like, I felt so comfortable with you. It's so true. Yeah. That's great.
Yeah, it's interesting.
So you enjoyed the show? Yeah.
She was fascinating. Now, I had some trouble hearing certain parts, so I am going to listen to the archives again just to, because I think it might have been my connection on my laptop, but it's just fascinating. And when I checked out the information on the site before the show, like, it wasn't what I expected it to be. You know, when you talk about or think about handwriting, you think more about handwriting analysis and that kind of thing. But, you know, when I started to read it and then listening to her tonight, I mean, it was just absolutely fascinating.
Mm-hmm. And she's so passionate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She is. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. We should let her in politics.
Yeah, exactly.
Make the world a better place.
That's right.
Oh, dear. Anyway, good stuff. Well, thank you, Nancy.
Thank you.
Okay. Phil, I got another question for you. Are you there?
I am.
Okay. I guess I don't have to ask, are you there? Because I'm sure you're there. But now, did you know that schools in the U.S. are trying to remove cursive writing from their curriculum? Now, you sort of mentioned that before, but did you want to enhance a little bit on that?
I did. They're down, we mentioned that before, and they're down quite a bit. And I believe 40 states have actually taken it off or are thinking about taking it off completely. And it's not even in standardized testing anymore. So you don't actually have to learn it to go to college type deal.
Wow.
Which is sad, especially after listening to tonight's show. So I see it going that way. But Nancy, her and I have the same bizarre quirk where when I take notes, I alternate letters almost between writing and printing.
Well, she says that, I know from her books, that you're supposed to put spaces in between, like never just write continuously. You're supposed to have sort of air in between. So you might do an A and an I and then have a space. And then, like, so you're never supposed to just keep going. So you'll learn about that when you get the book, though.
I think I'm going to learn a lot when I get the book.
Yeah. And I thought it was great when she said that about your T and the T being over the thing and how you live in like way up there. You know, I thought that was great.
She was pretty correct on that. Yes. My line just kind of floats above there. It's in its own little land.
Yeah. But you're allowed.
I'm not sure if I want to cross it down and be grounded. That I don't know if that would work for me.
Well, she said if you don't, then it's hard to manifest what you're going for. Didn't she say something like that? I mean, I have to be listening to it.
There's something to that nature, yes.
Like making your dreams reality, something like that.
Wind tunnel.
Wind tunnel, yeah. Oh, we all kind of had a few problems tonight. And poor Vanilla, she couldn't even, she was talking away and she couldn't even hear us. We couldn't hear her. So, well, thanks, Bill.
You're welcome.
Now, Rez, I'm just wondering, did you have a question or is there anything that you wanted to add at this time?
Oh, I don't think so. I'm just fascinated by the whole thing. I think we should, you know, after we all get the book and the kit, should talk about it on another show, our results and everything. How cool would that
be? Oh, that'd be fun.
Wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Maybe just have a little bit, especially since you've been through it, you know?
Yeah, we could all.
Yeah, that'd be everyone coming into our chat rooms on Psychic Access will be saying, do you know about this thing? Let us show you how to change your life with the new alphabet. Wow, yeah. It's such an amazing tool. I'm just really excited about the whole thing.
No, and I like that she said it's not like you have to spend all this money and keep going. It's something that you can do on your own, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, so it was good. Well, thanks, Chris.
I had
so glad you joined us.
Oh, me too. It's always fun when I do. I'm glad I did, you know. I'm looking at the clock going, oh my gosh, it's almost 8 o'clock. It's almost time for the show. I'll hurry up and get in the chat room. And then, surprise, I get to hang out with you guys tonight. So, very cool. Much love to Maureen. I know that things are difficult for her right now. So, we're all sending her love right now, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Yes, yes.
Cool. Yeah. Well, I think we should do that. Get together and discuss our results and our experiences with the new alphabet.
Yeah, and which letters we're practicing.
Yeah.
I wonder how many people, like, say, okay, well, I want money, so I'm just going to do G's, you know, and then realize that there's a little bit more to it all, you know, that you just can't just practice one letter. And
I hope people don't do that, because it's the same deal with the universal laws and law of attraction, you know?
Right. Like, people are just trying to...
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, money, money, bring me money. Yeah.
Think about your intentions, you know?
Right. And you know, I think people forget, well, what are you going to buy with the money? Like, what are you going to do with a big pile of money? Like, obviously you're going to go buy something, so why not manifest that? You know, it's a lot easier.
Yes. I'd like to, you know, remind everyone what I remind myself all the time is, you know, everyone, most people anyway, I've heard that when huge amounts of money in the lottery are extremely miserable. And I consult myself with that when I buy a ticket every week.
I'm back.
There you are.
I had backup internet, so here I am.
Oh, this is the funniest show. It's like one of those.
Oh my god!
We're pulling it all together.
It's a Twilight Zone show for sure tonight.
I'm so up here on fire that I don't know what's going on.
Oh my gosh.
Oh well. Well, what, we're going to listen to the archives and laugh our heads off.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
This is what psychics like in real life.
Alright. So,
psychics and electronics don't get together to begin with. It's not a good match.
Oh, yeah. That would always happen to poor Stevie. He would always cut off all the time.
Always blowing up stuff.
Yep. Yeah. So, Nancy, I have a question for you. Is that okay?
Yes, it is.
Okay. You're currently writing a book, so can you share the process you use?
Well, it's funny because when I read the information again, you know, before the show, I noticed that she had said that she... I can't even pronounce her name. Is it Vilma?
Vimala.
Vimala, that's beautiful. Vimala handwrites her books, and you know the reason for doing it. And you know, I used to when I was in university, I used to handwrite everything and then type it. And then there's some places that I worked with the government that you didn't have time to take notes. You had to type your reports right on the computer, and I found that really difficult, but I trained myself to do it, but I had a lot of trouble with it. So now I'm writing a self-help book, and I find that if I write in pencil, that it just flows, but if I sit down at a computer, it really I don't have the same motivation or the flow or anything like that. So it's really interesting what she said about, you know, the your brain and how it works with the, you know, a keyboard as opposed to handwriting, and it's just amazing. So I find that it's more creative for me, and I get to, it just kind of flows out through the pen, but when I type it, it just kind of gets stuck.
Right, right.
So it's very interesting.
Like automatic writing somewhat.
Yeah, totally.
That would be a good show to do on automatic writing.
Yeah.
So. Oh, that's neat. I hope you tell us when your book's coming out. That's great.
Well, of course, because it's going to be on the bestsellers list anyway. So you.
Oh, yeah.
So you'll know. You'll know anyway.
Yeah, you better get the phone. I think it's Oprah.
Well, you know, I'm a fan. You know, Oprah's had her last show today, and I thought they were going to ask me to take over, but they didn't.
And they didn't yet. Okay.
No. Get you, but yes. That connection is spotty, so.
Oh.
Hang on.
Okay. Now I have one more question here for Phil. Will the pen and paper ever be removed from society and become completely replaced by computers and texting?
No, I don't think they'll be able to actually do that because, as well as we can tell tonight, electronics aren't always that stable. and the pen and paper is a necessity, although I'd like to see not as many trees be cut down, but we do need those in the schools, and, you know, not everyone can get laptops and things of that nature. So I think we'll be seeing, well, we can go all the way back to parchment paper, so it's, you know, it's going to be around for a while.
Yeah, that's true.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes perfect sense.
Okay.
It'd be sad, though. It would be sad. I mean, when you think books and, like, handwritten stuff, and it would be a sad day.
It would, but if you look around, too, you'll see the Kindle and download your books and, you know, all that's going on. So it's going to be a struggle. It'll be interesting over the next 40, 50 years to see, you know, which direction we actually end up, and do we completely change over?
Yeah, maybe we'll all be telepathic.
That would be cool.
Maybe we just manifest it.
Isn't that tribe in, I believe it's Australia, the original tribe, who communicates entirely telepathically? They don't speak at all?
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Where's that?
Wow.
I believe it's either Australia or New Zealand. I'm not quite sure, but I do know it's real. So, yeah.
That's neat.
Yeah,
that's cool.
Yeah, indigenous people. Yeah. So, back to the future, eh?
Totally.
Yeah. Well, you never know. So we've come to the part of the show where we'll be taking your calls and questions. You can either call in or ask your question in the chat room. However, we do have to take the call-in first due to this wait time. The call-in number for your free reading is 734-444-4851. Again, the number is 724-444-4851. Please note that no one will answer your call. When your call comes in, you will be placed on hold automatically. This will last and listen to the show while you wait. You will be able to speak to us when you are placed on the air. Please try to be very specific with your questions, as this will enable us to focus and hone in more directly on your areas of interest. So that's great. Now, I believe, Nancy, you're going to help us through this.
Yes, and I'm on Skype, Sharon, so I'll help you out. So did you want to start the calls now, the readings?
Well, it doesn't matter. Like, depends if Doug's in control here. So if not, we can just keep chatting.
Yes, Phil has the first caller, and they're on the line, and it's someone from Wisconsin.
Hello? Do we have... Oh.
Yep, there they are.
Hi.
Phil, do you have a call from Wisconsin? Are you there, Phil?
Yes, I am. I have a call that I'm... A friend of mine knew I was trying to find someone who was a true psychic or something, because in my family, I have a very well-known psychic aunt who passed away 30 years ago, and I lived with her for a long time, and I never found anybody that I felt was really true to form or true to the way she did things, or whatever, and so I was kind of excited about getting this phone number and calling. And my question is, do you see anything in the future for me? I've been very depressed for a couple of years. Just lost my mom 3 weeks ago, and I've been living with a guy for 7 years, but it was kind of just a friendship thing. I was just wondering if you had any feelings about this.
Okay. Phil, are you there to answer her question?
Yes.
Well, Phil was going to answer your question tonight, but I...
I'm sorry. Oh, I can barely hear her. Can she hear me?
I can hear you.
Okay. Did you say you lost your mom, too?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sorry about that. All right. For you, I see a lot of changes going on, and you're kind of depressed about a whole bunch of stuff. You're up in your head a whole lot, doing a lot of worrying. And you kind of have to just come to terms with that and start loving yourself again and stay strong and work through it. It's kind of a big test for you right now. Okay? Mm-hmm. So what I'm getting on, and I'm just throwing down some tower cards right now, is if you stay strong and you look at everything that's occurred, you'll be able to get through it. But it's just a process you have to do, and eventually you get there. So there's a lesson in there for you. Now, what question did you have specifically?
I wanted to know what this relationship I'm in is going. Where is it going? I don't know if we're friends or what. He's been living with me for 7 years now, and I don't know.
It kind of looks like the pleasure side of the relationship has definitely gone away.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not as connected as you used to be. That's coming through strong. And, you know, can you get it back there, I think, is what I want to ask. Can you love again? It looks like... It's going to be a struggle for you. You're going to have to do a lot of thinking. It's almost like a new journey, a rebirth. You're going to have to actually reconnect with this person and pretend you started dating again, something like that, to get it kicked off, and then you can rebuild it from that point.
Mm-hmm.
But it's definitely a stagnant, it feels very stagnant right now to me.
Yeah. Do you see me having... happy relationship with somebody? I gotta tell you, I've been married once in the 70s, and I was married once again in the 90s, and then my husband passed away. And it seems like since that day, I've had 5 boyfriends pass away.
Mm.
And I'm thinking, you know, like, am I the kiss of death here? Or... will I be happy again?
Your husband's coming through pretty strong. My body's kind of chilly right now. It's definitely him. So he is around you at all times. And I think you're almost self-destructing. And I don't mean that in a bad way. But the relationships are kind of going away. You're definitely feeling lonely about it. But I'm dancing around your question with odd information, so let me get specific. Will you ever find true love again? And that's a very strong yes, just using a pendulum, and it's swinging very hard back and forth. So you will find that again, the true soul. But I'm supposed to be telling you that your husband is around you still, watching you. I believe that was, yes, I flipped the card, your true soulmate. So you did have it for a while, so you should be very grateful for that.
Okay. All right. I don't know if you heard me before, but I said that I had an aunt here in Wisconsin that was a very famous psychic. And when she passed away, I knew almost to the date that she was going to pass away. Do any of these psychic abilities pass in families?
Do they pass in families? I believe they do, and you'll see a lot of people say they're second, third, fourth generation psychics, so it's probably in the genes that it does pass around. Do you feel that you're very intuitive?
Sometimes I can be right on, and, you know, other times I'm not, like, it's not clear at all, but, I have feelings about things that, you know, like, don't go there or do this or, you know, or go somewhere that I wouldn't normally go.
And you listen to those thoughts and feelings, right? Tell me yes.
Pardon?
I said, and you listen to those thoughts and feelings, correct? Please tell me yes. Mostly. Okay. Did you say yes?
Yes. Yes.
Yes. Good. Okay. That's actually, you know, that's a big step because most people don't listen to the universe that's talking to them. So if you can pick it up and receive the information and then follow it, then that's your path. And for me, I'm getting through that you could actually develop this more, and that it would make you very happy. I just flipped over the High Priestess. She is the person that is in tune with the universe, connected spiritually. And I see you picking that as a path if you want to, and do some studying on it and play with it some more.
Okay. Do you recommend any books or anything that would be good for me to read?
You know, I don't like to recommend things. Well, I do, but let's see. We just walk down the New Age aisle or whatever it is you have in Wisconsin and see what feels right. You'll be drawn to it is what usually happens, and just start there. As far as seminars, Sylvia Life Systems has a very good seminar that you can get the CDs for. You don't have to go to them. And there's a lot of information in those. And what else is there? You know, to take kind of a look around the New Age. See if you're drawn to the tarot, if you're drawn to, you know, automatic writing, or just kind of get a basic book and go through it and see which hits a button, which topic, and then go after that topic.
Okay. So do you see a happy life ahead of me?
Do I see a happy life ahead of you? I'm just going to use the pendulum and see if you're going to be happier. Yeah, you're definitely going to be happier. I think pursuing this would be a good start. Love, you will fall in love again. So that's good. So you're going to be happier. It's going to be, I'm feeling, you know, if you get started right away, within 3 months, you're going to feel a lot different in your heart and your soul.
Okay. All right, then. I really appreciate that. I just couldn't believe I was the first caller. I was like, whoa! That was just wild. Maybe my luck is starting now.
It was lovely chatting with you.
Okay, thank you very much.
All right, you're welcome.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. Bye-bye.
That was a great reading, Phil.
Oh, thanks.
Okay.
I tried.
It was nice the way she said, and my luck's starting now. Yay! So, Nancy, did we have anyone else? Nancy, you there? Oh.
Oh, sorry. Can
it's
you
okay.
hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. Did we have anyone else online?
Yes, there's a caller on the line from Washington State for me.
Oh, for you. Okay.
Okay. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
How are you?
I'm pretty good. How are you?
I'm very well. What's your name?
Mary.
Hi, Mary. And did you have a particular question?
I do. Sorry, this is my first time calling. I don't really know how to go about this, so I'm going to do my best.
Well, welcome.
Thank you. Okay, so I go to college over here in Washington, and I've been kind of stressing out lately about where exactly or what exactly I want to be doing for the rest of my life.
Uh-huh.
So I wanted to know, do you see what sort of pathways I should be heading into?
Okay, I'm just going to do a really quick spread here. Was there something that you felt drawn to already, or are you totally confused?
I don't know. I've been sort of looking towards, like, sociology or psychology or education. See, I have no clue. I really like working with people and children and stuff, and I've always been good at talking to.
Okay, and I see that you know, this is causing you a lot of despair, and you know it's. But the thing is about going to college, if you start off with one program, and you know you find that you're not drawn to it, because sometimes that happens. You know, we get out there, and then we find that we learn about the occupation that we think we want to do, and then we end up, you know, switching because we've learned more about it. But you're right on. You know, you're drawn to helping people, and I see, you know, a lot of family, you know, there's been working with families possibly in your thoughts, and you have to look at things a little bit differently and kind of look at things outside the box. So you're going in the right direction. So, I mean, there's many programs that you could do, like, you know, like you said, sociology, psychology, social work is a great profession, and I'm kind of biased because I'm a social worker, but I find that, you know, it's looks at things in a holistic way, and I think that you're really drawn to helping others because you've got a you're doing this anyway naturally, so it would be just a natural progression for you to, you know, bring this caring and ability that you have to the next level by doing it professionally. So I think you're on the right track, and any one of those programs would really suit you quite well. And I think what you need to do is just do a little bit of research. And if you start off on one, say you start doing sociology, and then you take a few sociology courses, and then you learn more about it, and you say, you know what, that's not for me. And then, you know, because all of those programs, you would take courses, different courses on sociology and psychology anyway. So whatever you start off with, you could change direction. But I see you being very, very good at that and being really passionate about it and being quite successful with it, because you are, you know, passionate about helping people and being of service to others. So I think it's just going to be a natural progression for you, and one that you're really going to enjoy.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, it does. It does completely. I was trying to ask a different one as well. Is it gonna? This might be a dumb question, but is it gonna come easily? Because right now it's kind of really difficult to financially and stuff.
It's going to come, and I think starting off, like you're finding, it is going to be a little bit difficult, but things are going to open up financially for you, and you're going to find a solution to get the money that you need to do this. Over the next, you know, your first semester and your first year is not going to be the easiest year financially, but you will get the money. But after that, things will start to flow better financially, and you're really going to be glad that you did go in that direction and kind of jump forward and do it. And you just need to, like, I see the hangman here a lot, and it's, you know, that means you just need to look at things differently. So you just need to try some different strategies to get money in different ways, or, you know, if you're not working now, like get a part-time job, or look at grants that are there, and really ask a lot of questions and really reach out to the people at the school and in various departments for what is available, because there's something there for you, and you just need to find out what it is financially.
Okay.
Yeah, so I think it's all coming together. It's just that, you know, it's going to take a little bit of effort from you as well, and as you know, but everything is going to work out fine. So you should call back in later, on, you know, at a later date, and let us all know how you're doing and which program you decided to take.
Because
you'd be good at either one.
For you.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. Bye. Good night.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And there's a caller on the line, Sharon Ferrez, and the person is from Florida. Oh my God.
Creepy, isn't it?
He's trying to reach you telepathically.
I need you to say that.
I think it's E.T.
E.T. Oh, dear.
About time.
Well,
Florida is...
are they on the line now? Or
caller from New York.
Yeah, there's a caller from Florida.
Okay.
Okay, no, sorry, there's a caller now from New York, and whoever called in from Florida, I think it was the radio sending interference.
Oh.
Yeah, so the caller now is from New York for Rez. Oh,
for Rez, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, out. Well, hi, this is Rez. Am I talking to New York?
Hello?
Hi, what's your first name, please? I can't hear you, I'm sorry. I can't hear you. Gotta really speak up for me.
Oh, my name is Margaret.
Well, hi there.
How are you?
What's your question for me? What can I help you with?
I actually may have spoken to you before about this man named Dan.
Yep.
I've just been having like a really bad day. I've been crying all day over him. And I don't know if I should let him go or keep waiting for him or what to do about him.
Well, let's just take a look. I'm glad that we can because I know you haven't been able to ask me any other way. I'll put that. So I'm glad that you came in and asked me about that. I saw you in the chat room, and I said, that's my chat room buddy on Psychic Access.
I love him. Like, I just... My whole deal is that I love him like he's a soulmate, like he's like there's no other man in this life for me, and I don't know how to let him go if that's what he wants me to do.
Yeah. Well, let's not talk about what he wants you to do. Let's talk about what you should do, because it's you that we're definitely going to help here. All right, a couple of things, and this is kind of condensed because we don't have a whole lot of time. But I am seeing that what the cards are showing me a second chance with this relationship. And I know the circumstances, and I know that he's not technically or legally available right now. But what I'm seeing is the death card, which is not about anybody dying like his wife or anything. But it's about... a situation that once existed being reborn. And in order for a situation to be reborn, certain things have to happen. It's a process, you know. When you plant a garden and winter comes and everything dies, it takes a while for the ground to become prepared and for everything to become ready so the plant can prosper and grow once again. It's the same process. This is the process you're going through now. Bottom line is I do see another opportunity for this relationship. So even right now, while you can't, and I honestly don't feel should let the situation go or let him go, what you can do right now is set it aside. And I think that may be something that you can live with for a little while. It's thinking in terms of giving up, letting go. Never again will I see or talk to this person. What are they thinking? What are they doing? And all of that, being connected to all of that, wondering what they're doing and feeling and thinking and all that, is going to keep you in a place of sadness and of anxiety. Because really what we need to do is wait for their life process, and even some of yours, but that process of resurrection and regrowth, dying, coming back to life, that whole thing, to happen, you know? So I think what will help you get through your right now, is if you can put it aside. You don't have to let it go. You don't have to forget about it. You don't have to wonder what's going to happen, even though that's the hardest part. But just for now, the things that you can concentrate on and the things that you can focus on can be all about you and your life and making yourself happy while the situation that needs to grow and be resurrected percolates, you know? Does that make sense to you, Meg?
Yeah, I've been waiting so long for this man.
Yeah, I know. It's been a long time. But what we need to do, I think, would also be helpful is let go of time. Time doesn't really matter right now. It's the process that matters. And another thing to keep in mind, too, is that there's nothing on this planet, nothing in this universe that doesn't change. Everything changes all the time. Just because you can't see something happening or something changing doesn't mean nothing's happening. Okay? So don't let yourself fall into the trap of nothing's happening, because that's just not true. Okay? So just keep, you know, coming to me and we'll keep track of what's happening so you know. And you can put it aside. Write it down. Write it, get it, your thoughts out of your head and onto paper. Write it on a piece of paper. Put it in a box called for later, and wrap it up with a ribbon or something. Give it to your angels or your guides or however you picture your spiritual help to be, and say, I'm giving this to you to handle because I can't do it right now. And you're giving it away just for a little while. You're setting it aside. Can you do that?
No, because like, it hurts so badly that like, I have no contact.
I know it does. But that's one way is we begin to heal and stop hurting, is we stop carrying around something that's too heavy for us, and we ask someone else or something else, in this case, your creator, to carry it for you. Give it over. That physical action, the thoughts and the physical actually doing it, will make all the difference for you. We think we have to feel better before we can do something, when really we have to do something so we can feel better. Understand? And come on into the chat room. We'll talk about it more. Okay?
Yeah.
I'm not sure if I lost her.
Oh, that was nice to surrender up your burdens like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we forget. Mm-hmm. We have to carry that stuff around all the time. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. I'm just wondering why I'm so connected to him.
Well, that probably has a lot to do with the relationship that you had before. But what we'll do is talk more about it in the chat room on Psychic Access. Okay?
Okay. Right.
I'll be here later on tonight, alrighty?
Okay.
Okay, big hug.
That's great. So, now, Nancy, is there someone else on the phone?
There is, Sharon. The next caller is for you, and it's from Florida.
Okay. Hi, Florida. Are you
Hi.
There?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now. What's your name, please?
Dawn?
Dawn, hi Dawn. I'm taking your question tonight. My name's Sharon. So did you have a question for me?
I did. I see orbs a lot of times in my photographs, and I'm a real estate appraiser, so I go to different houses and I'll have like a weird feeling in the house, and then when I get home and look at the photos, I'll see these like, you know, orbs. And I had a friend come over this Halloween to my house with her boys to go trick-or-treating in my neighborhood, and I posed for a picture with them, and there's a huge orb like right on my chest and in the photo, and it almost looks like there's writing inside of it, but when I try to expand the picture to see what it says, I can't really make it out. So I'm just wondering if you can tell if there's, you know, what this is all about. I'm just curious.
Okay. Well, the first thing I'm feeling is, it's not the houses, it's you. Like, it's not like you're going to the house and the orbs are in the house. It's more the orbs are following you. So I'm feeling that in the next, it feels like about 6 to 7 months, you're going to be getting charges of energy at you. Like, it feels like that the universe is kind of trying to get your attention. I'm feeling that you're always helping people. You might do it in more of a, you might not do it, you know, with a shingle set up, look at me, I'm a psychic. You might not be doing that, but what you do is when you're around people, it's like your energy heals them. And do you find that a lot of people come to you for answers and they just need to be around you? Do you find that a lot?
I don't know. I know that I'm extremely sensitive, and I let other people's energy affect me, and it's something I try really hard to, but I struggle with, because I can just walk into a room, and if someone's upset with something, I take it personally, because I just absorb that energy.
And you know, and make sure when you're walking around like that you're protecting yourself. Like, even find a little prayer, do something that protects yourself in the light. So that, I mean, if you're running around and absorbing this energy, it must be very tiring. So you just have to be a little bit careful. But I'm feeling the next 7 months that whatever these are, these orbs or spirit or whatever it is around you, is going to become a little more obvious to you. And I'm feeling that you're going to. When I go to December, I feel that there's a huge smile on your face, and I'm just feeling that it's almost like, you know, when a wheel click, 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 it's like everything's going to fall into place. It feels like you've got a few things up in the air, but it feels like by Christmas, everything's going to fall into place, and it has something to do with the spiritual energy coming down to you. So these orbs are actually spirit talking to you, or showing up the only way they know how, kind of thing. So it's very, very, very pretty when I look into it. It feels there's a lot of blue around you right now. I'm feeling a lot of blue energy, and it feels kind of like crystal blue. It's very pretty, very nice energy around you.
Well, another thing that keeps reoccurring is the number 6 and 9 in different forms and in different things, like constantly in my life over the last probably year, and I'm wondering if that means anything.
Well, do they when you do your birthday and stuff, is it any of your numbers, these 6 and 9s? Like 9, of course, is endings or closure or you know, and 6 is a little bit, I think it's a little bit karmic, I'm not sure, but together you've got a 15, which is another 6. So, you know, numbers, I'm not a numerologist, but there's lots of books you can get on what numbers mean, you know, because a lot of people see the same numbers over and over and over, and what happens is the more you see them, the more you expect them, so they just come a little bit more, they come more all the time. So, you know, but if you get a book on numerology, and just find out what those numbers mean. You know, because there must be a reason. Sometimes I know that if I see my lucky numbers, because my lucky number is 444, then I always think, oh, I get the answer to my question, or I get an okay from the universe. So check if it's not something like that, like you haven't been thinking about something, and then the numbers show up. Right?
It's weird because I always get like a negative feeling about it, and I started my own business about a year ago, and the 6 or the 9 started showing up then, like my telephone number, my debit card for the business, like everything, and assignments that I'll get will have those numbers. So I wonder if it's something negative
I don't believe that. I think that, you know, like I said, I think you could bring yourself, you know, with fear, lots of things come to you because it's like a test. So try not to put too much stuff around the negative part of it, and just say, oh yeah, okay. So I know I'm supposed to be doing that. Now I feel a lot of when you mentioned your business, I just felt like an explosion of money. So it's just like something really nice is about to happen. Are you still doing the business? Like you're still?
Yes, I am. I just don't enjoy what I do, and I'm trying. I'm very thankful that I have work and.
Yeah. I see money around you. It's just like a bucket. It's almost like you're kicking it out of your way. It's like coming down to you. I keep going to Christmas, and I just feel it's like a really good time for you. Okay?
Great. Thank you so much.
All right. You take care of yourself.
You too. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye. So that was fun. So, Nancy, did we have anyone else on the line, or was that the last caller?
Bye.
Oh, hi, we have someone.
Can you hear me?
Oh, okay, hi. And where are you from?
Virginia.
Oh, Virginia. Okay, well, I think, Nancy, is this for Phil? Phil, are you
there? I am. Hi there. What was your name again, ma'am?
Doreen.
Doreen, how are you?
From the chat room. Hi. Hi, Phil.
From the chat room. Okay, how you doing, Doreen? Well, what's your question?
I have been feeling down for the past couple weeks. Not sure why. Can't make a connection for what's going on. Find myself kind of thinking about someone that I dated and not sure what is going on. I'm really a happy-go-lucky type of person, but for the past 2 weeks, I'm just kind of feeling blah.
Hmm. You shouldn't feel blah. You're just kind of thinking of old loves and things of that nature. And you want to bring some of that back. So I'm just feeling you're having old memories come up for you. And you want to know if you're going to pursue them or not. Is that what you're kind of dwelling on right now?
I think I'm kind of torn, Phil. I don't know. Do you think I should? I mean, are we going to connect? I don't know.
So you are. So let's see. Let's try the little pendulum. Should you make a connect? Yeah, go ahead and reach out. It looks good that if you reach out, things will start going for you. So kind of put the emotions behind you. Forget about I'm going to fail or this isn't going to work in back of you, and put your best foot forward and go after it. And that feels pretty good to me. So kind of get that warrior, the princess warrior, going on. Be strong. Go for it. If that makes sense.
Do you think he will reciprocate, or do you think he's going to be used and try to reach out to me?
No, I see you being the strong one and reaching out. And I don't know if you're comfortable or not with that. And I think you're kind of going back and forth on that also. Do you know him through a group?
No.
No, so you couldn't back into it that way then. Okay.
Go
ahead and go for it. And do I think he will reciprocate? Let's check. Yes, it looks like he will reciprocate. So your efforts are going to turn out just fine. You've just got to kind of change that attitude and go after it. And there it is. So once you kill that, the female shouldn't aggress or make the first contact type attitude, then it's all going to go in your favor. So go ahead, and there's the love card for you right there. So it's all going to turn out good. What it is he's actually looking to the person you're thinking about, but you're looking in opposite directions. So somehow you have to connect. And that's what I'm saying. Go ahead, get your power. Go ahead and make the connect.
What do you mean about that opposite direction?
It's just kind of two face cards looking different ways with love in the middle. And if you could just turn them around so they could see each other, so you're actually not seeing each other, looking at each other, no one's making that first move. Someone needs to make that. And then everything's good. But right now you're looking away, and you just need to look at each other. So to the bottom line is go ahead and pursue, and you should be good.
So you think this would be a potential mate, so to speak? A good partnership, relationship?
I think I'm feeling it'll definitely be a good relationship, a good friendship to start, and that'll put the energy on the table to go from there. That the universe isn't going to tell me any more than that, but it's saying you should definitely make a connect, start the friendship, start a relationship, and then go on. Okay. Some things we're just not meant to know yet.
Right.
But I did get a love card up there. I don't see a quick, we'll be married in 2 months type deal. I see more of a friendship building, which is always the best way to fall in love, in my opinion.
Okay. Well, thank you, Bill. Thank you.
All right, you're welcome.
There we go. So, lots of great callers tonight, wasn't there?
Absolutely.
So that brings us to the end. I think that's it, right, Nancy? Is that it for
yes,
callers?
That was the last call.
Awesome. Okay. So this brings us to the end. We had another wonderful show. I want to thank Doug, who works behind the scenes and keeps us on track as our executive producer. And thank you to my co-host for joining me tonight. Now, who's doing next week's show? Is it one of you?
That's going to be lucky me, I believe.
Oh, okay. So what can we look forward to next week?
We can look forward to Dr. Kama Kirk. Dr. Hauer coming back.
Okay.
I just forgot how to pronounce her first name. And she has her newest book out, which is Holiness. And it's about the world changing and a whole bunch of topics on that nature. And if you don't know about her, she does have... This is her 7th book out. She was on, actually, NBC yesterday. And pretty famous gal, and she's been on this show before. You can actually listen to one of her older show in the archives.
That's Carmen Harris. Wonderful.
Carmen, thank you. I had the C and couldn't pronounce the rest of it. So Carmen is coming back, so we're looking forward to that.
Oh, that'll be great. So, well, thank you, everyone, and thanks, everyone, for tuning in. It's been a great show. I guess we can all say our goodbyes.
Good night, everyone.
Good night, and thanks for coming.
Take care, everybody. Thanks for tuning in.
Night all.
Night.